Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, January 25th, 2009. It is now about 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Lastly, I'd like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. I'm slowly but surely getting my voice back, and with me this evening, I have my wife, Erin. Erin, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Okay, fine. She had to ask me, although I was with her all day today. And folks, please remember, call in 646-652-4620. Even if you have a question not on target with our subject this evening, we'd love to hear from you. I'd like to start off with a couple of emails. This one is a few weeks old, and actually I never really responded to this one. This is from Bryce from Kansas, and he says, I was talking with a friend, and he was trying to convince me that taxes help the economy grow. I'll be honest, I had a hard time understanding what he was saying, but it had something to do with European countries having higher taxes and therefore better economies than the United States. Ha ha, he writes. Tell me how higher taxes help the economy grow. Well, I cannot tell you how higher taxes help the economy grow, but I can help you with your friend. First of all, your friend doesn't understand economics. Now, you have to understand, Bryce, when you are discussing politics with other people who have a definitive idea of what is right and what is wrong, especially if they are absolutely wrong and do not understand economics 101, the best thing that you can do is just be concurrent with them when you're speaking with them. When I say concurrent, you can say, that's interesting. Tell me more. You know, how would that work? That's an interesting concept. I had not experienced that myself. How would that work? In other words, let the person talk through the process with you. If they say that, geez, Europe has higher taxes, thus a better economy, say, well, geez, that's interesting. What is the tax rate in Europe? Could you tell us how that tax rate helps the economy so I can better appreciate how it would help us here in the United States? Now, all you're doing is you're not being confrontational. You're not disagreeing. You're not giving me a smarty-ass answer like, oh, yeah? You tell me if you really know what the tax rate is. Tell me what it is, you know, and I'll tell you what I think. No, you say, that's very interesting, you know. How does the tax rate there help the economy? Because then I can maybe apply it here to the United States. In other words, be concurrent with them throughout the entire conversation. And I'll tell you what has happened with me. in conversations such as that. I've had these people talk themselves right into a hole as I'm agreeing with them. Actually, I am pulling them down the hole. I'm pulling or pushing them, and I'm stuffing them down nice and neatly, and they smile all the way down until they get to a point where they realize they, number one, have no idea what they're talking about, or secondly, their concept of what they are talking about has absolutely no validity whatsoever. And then they go, well, I'm not really sure how that works. You say, well, possibly, maybe what you meant was, in other words, they're always correct, you are never right. They are always correct, you are never right. And you may say something like, well, possibly what you meant to say was this, this, and that. And this is sort of what we've been trying to do here in the States. How do you feel about that? And they say, well, obviously, you know, that's the way to go. They say, well, we're in agreement with that. And I can guarantee you, you will be in agreement with them every single time, never argue with you, and they will change their mind and thank you for it, but would never realize it. That is critical, because once we say, oh yeah, well, you obviously don't understand the Austrian School of Economics, blah, 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 they'll go put the Austrian School of Economics where the sun doesn't shine, and you have an argument. Forget about the argument. In fact, Bryce wrote that just a few weeks ago, but he did write me another one. He said, so please tell me, oh, by the way, I received some other emails, but they were complimentary, and I don't like reading them on the air because I feel like I'm toot my own horn, but I do appreciate very much the very, very kind words. Those that I receive that are compliments, I just email back and thank them for it sincerely. But don't stop sending me compliments, because I need them. They're my ego boost. They're my motivators that keep me going, because every day I say to myself, I'm shutting down the station. I can't do this anymore. No one's listening. Nobody cares. Why am I doing it? The world hates me. And when I receive an email which is complimentary, it sort of gets me all juiced up all over again. So I appreciate those. All right, here's another one from Bryce. And this one's just from just the other day. He says, so please tell me I didn't hear what I really heard. After listening to Mr. Obama's speech, I realized, as far as foreign policy and the war on terror are concerned, that this man sounded no different from George W. Bush. I forgot his words, but he said essentially that we would fight the terrorists to the end. You're right, Bryce. That's what he said. It made me sick to my stomach. We're going to have troops dying overseas with our national debt rising, fighting an imaginary war that cannot be won. And I love those words, imaginary war that cannot be won. You are absolutely correct. You get 100 points on that one. Thanks for pointing that out, he says to me. He says, it's amazing the same crowd who rejected Bush's words applauded Obama for saying exactly the same thing. I was also told by my socialist democratic friend, I'm glad you have socialist democratic friends, I have lots of them, that if we brought all those troops overseas homes from those 151 bases, then that would be problematic. A problematic thing, because it would put those troops out of work. This is the same person who has an End This War sticker on his car. And he says, P.S., I disagree with one thing of your broadcast. I think hope is always better than fear. Fear is what George W. Bush fed us for the last 8 years, and I think hope is always good thing. Plus, I think the market will improve if hope is restored. Just my opinion on that. Hope you get to feel better. Enjoy the show. Thank you very much, Bryce. There's always a misconception when I talk about I like to put hope in the closet. And the only reason why I say that is I don't want you to be morose and be down on everything and feel that there is no hope for the future. Obviously, we have to act positively. My only problem with hope is, like Obama says, the audacity of hope. You don't have to do anything. Just hope and we'll take care of it for you. That's what I really meant, and I hope we can understand each other. All right. I'd like to just stop for station identification. It's 10 minutes after the hour. We are only going to have a half-hour broadcast this evening. Please call in 646-652-4620. I'm Joe Cristiano, your host for Liberty Talk Radio. And Bryce, thank you very much for the two emails. Now, as far as the Obama speech is concerned, the thing that really struck me is when the camera panned the audience, what I saw were a bunch of glassy-eyed people. I didn't see a bunch of people that were really excited. In fact, if you recall, they only applauded once during his speech. Now, when he was campaigning, they would applaud like every 10, 15 seconds. And that's why, and the reason for that is he said, things are going to get tough. You're going to have to pull yourself up, and we're going to have to work yourself to the bone to work yourself out of this. They didn't like that because that's not what he said during his campaign. He says, everything is fine now. All you need is to have faith and hope in me, and everything will be fine. He's coming back to them saying, guess what? Things are going to be horrible. No kidding. No kidding. I'd like to talk a little bit about, I got to say something. I met a friend of mine who's quite wealthy. He owns a chain of nationally known restaurants. In fact, he's opening up two in Dubai, which is kind of exciting for him. And I just asked him, what's your opinion of the economy? And he said, I am deathly afraid what's going to happen. He said, people don't understand how bad things could get. And he said, I hope that they don't get there. I'm not too optimistic. And he said, I'm just not certain what I'm going to do or how to tackle this thing or what I should do. And that really surprised me because very, very rarely would anyone say something along those lines. Usually they say something, we've been through this before, and we'll weather this one like we weathered everything else, blah, 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 and blah, and everything will be fine. And now that Obama's in office, we have the stimulus package. And this guy was genuinely scared. This guy's a multimillionaire, and he says, now that I've decided to sort of divest myself from the business and just relax, he says, I'm afraid all the work that we've put into these chains, and these are nationally known chains, he says, are going to be for naught. That was scary to hear it from this guy. Anyway, please, folks, understand this is not a dress rehearsal. This is the real thing. And you really have to pay attention. And that's why I suggest every broadcast that you go and listen and read to Andy Sutton, because he gives you a macroeconomic point of view of what is happening. And start doing something. Don't be a sheep and sit there and wait for someone to do something for you. Don't hope it's going to get better. Forget the hope. You got to act. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the stimulus packages and the recession, etc. Now, the title of this broadcast is The Cure for Recession is Recession. Now, I didn't make that up. That I got from a article that I read from Dom Armentano. And he's the professor at the University of Hartford, Connecticut, and he's the author of Antitrust and Monopoly, as well as other books. He wrote an article that was on the LouRockwell.com and also republished in the Future of Freedom Foundation website, which I think is terrific. I suggest that you do go there every day and read their articles. And he said, the cure for recession is recession. Now, some of you have also heard the expression, the cure for high prices is high prices. And the only time that doesn't work is when the government gets involved. If the government stays out, if the price of something goes up, people will buy less of it, there'll be less demand for it, and the prices will come down. But unfortunately, there's always some pain in there, in that people are doing without, people are doing with less, people are not buying what they want to buy. There's pain in this process. But in that pain, there's correction. Right? Now, if we look at a recession, what does a recession do? And like Mr. Armentano, he mentions that it's a process. It's a process whereby we weed out the inefficient. We weed out the uncompetitive. And yes, there is a lot of pain involved. But the result is those people who remain are the more competitive components of our society. Thus, our society is left even stronger than it was before. Now, when doesn't that work? Aaron, when do you think that doesn't work?
When the government gets involved.
I would think that it might be when the government does get involved.
Aha! Okay.
Because it takes away personal initiative from individuals that might have saved their own businesses. It just leads to a downward spiral.
Absolutely. And you know, isn't it strange that, you know, when we hear our politicians, Obama et al., all of them, you don't ever hear the words personal initiative, do you? How often do you hear personal initiative?
Never.
Never. Okay, good. That's a good answer. Never. You never hear personal initiative. But because when you have personal initiative, you don't need the politician. If you don't need the politician, they may not get reelected. Isn't that something? So what do they do? Aaron, what do the politicians say?
Vote for me,
yes. I'll give you up. You don't have to do anything. I'll do it.
For you.
That's right. Anytime. I'll do it for you. Absolutely. Erin's got all the right answers. She always does. That's why I married her. You know, I'll do it for you. And that's what people do. You know, it's like watching. Isn't it like watching television, Aaron? Because your mind goes numb. All you do is watch television. And then someone asks you a question and you sound like you've been watching television. You get the same answer you heard on TV. You don't give it any thought. I mean, you just, you say whatever's on TV. And this is what's happening to our culture today. Today, people just respond to whatever they hear on TV. If a politician says something that's totally idiotic, what happens? Everyone responds the same way. They assume it's correct. That's the way it is, you know. Ask them a question and they have the right answer. What was that movie, Idiocracy? Idiocracy? You know, the one about idiots and it's in the future where this guy wakes up in the future and he's not too smart, but he's the smartest person in the world now because he's like 300 years in the future. And all people do is repeat what they hear on the televisions of that day, you know. And it's sort of a play on, you know, on our culture. But let me go on with this. He says here, economic booms, the booms themselves, malinvest labor and capital, and recessions are necessary to clean out these malinvestments. Declining prices allow consumers to more easily purchase products, whether it be homes or autos in excess supply, inventories are reduced, and supply and demand are brought into balance. And declining profits weed out businesses and organizations and their managers that have invested poorly during the boom. Bankruptcy allows resources to flow to more profitable areas of the economy. A sustainable recovery is now possible. Now, the problem with government intervention is that it assists those people who were inefficient at the expense of those who were efficient.
I mean, but also at the expense of everyone.
Absolutely.
All the taxpayers.
Good point. At the expense of the taxpayers, which I left out just now. Very good. Thank you, Aaron. At the expense of the taxpayer. And we not only have taxpayers involved, but we have suppliers. Everyone's affected by this thing. And the whole basis of our economy becomes less effective. But you won't hear our politicians say that. They'll say, we're here to help you. He goes on to say, he said, could you imagine that, he said that the case for bailing out spendthrift state governments or for additional infrastructure spending is equally flawed. Supporters constantly argue that since consumers won't spend, government must spend to create more jobs. And since it's claimed that there are vast unmet public sector needs, what better time to undertake major road construction or help state governments fund programs such as Medicaid? You know, think about this, folks. We are paying hellacious taxes both state, locally, federally, etc., right? And then sales taxes and excise taxes, right? And we're doing this because this money should be going to maintain the stuff, to maintain the roads, the airports, all this stuff, right? Now, no politician has ever been elected because he got up and said, well, folks, elect me and I will fill in the potholes on Fifth Street. I mean, people say, that's nice, never been elected. But if he got up and he said, elect me and I'll build that stadium and we'll become a big metropolis, oh, they'll all vote for him, you know, not realizing that it's going to come out of their hide, you know, and the potholes are still there. And this is what happens. So they commit themselves for the stadium. That's a boondoggle to start off with. The potholes are still there. Then we have an economic turndown. They go, oh, we need to fill in the potholes and fix the bridges and do all the stuff. So, you know, if we can only get federal government spending and putting all these people to work, you know, what an idiotic way of looking at things. We need a recession, folks. We need a hard recession. And we are so far in debt. We need a depression to get ourselves out of this. It's unfortunate, but that's what it is. And spare me the hope. We need this. Now, let me ask you this. If the federal government does provide all this money for infrastructure, you know, how is it going to be spent? There's an excellent comment, and let me see if I can give credit to somebody. Was it Sheldon Richmond? It wasn't Sheldon. Russell Roberts says this. Listen to this. This is great. You'll love this one, Aaron. Russell Roberts, he says, government will be government. And as Russell Roberts says, expecting a stimulus bill not to have pork is like expecting a ham sandwich not to have pork. But even if we make the heroic assumption that good projects can be identified, that won't mean spending will fix the economy. Now, understand that you are going to have politicians make decisions on infrastructure projects on a local that belong at the local level for the most part. Now, our infrastructure, you can always spend more money on infrastructure. Oh, but I'm late on station identification, aren't I? Okay. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our phone number is 646-652-4620. Now, folks, this is a half-hour broadcast. We only have about 7 minutes left. Please call in. We'd love to answer your questions. Do not be afraid. We will not holler at you. We will not call you names. We will not do anything to embarrass you. Now, we may do so after we get off the air. Only kidding. No, but do call in. Any question is welcome. If you cannot call in, and this is a rebroadcast, send me your email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. You can also call in by 918-919-0101. That's on a rebroadcast. Okay, now, where was I? Oh, yeah. Now, could you expect now the politicians to sit down and decide how these hundreds of billions of dollars are going to be spent? And do you think for one moment this money is going to be spent judiciously, efficiently, in the right place? And let's say they say, yeah, let's build a bridge to nowhere over here, you know? Robert Reich, by the way, that's what Rush Limbaugh says Robert Reich. He says it that way. I don't know why. But anyway, Robert Reich. I mean, nice guy, you know, nice guy. That guy's a wonderful communist. He's a wonderful, wonderful communist. Love the guy, but he's a communist, you know. And that's okay. He wants to be a communist, be a communist. He's not a communist. He's a real socialist, by the way. But he mentioned, I mean, I heard this on TV in one of these forums that he had. He said he does not expect the money to go to only white male construction workers. That some of this money should go, or preponderance of this money should be going to people who are out of work, the hardcore unemployed. What are the categories that he indicate?
Women.
What?
Women?
Oh, to women also. In other words, he wants this money to go to minorities. Now, wait a minute. If we have a construction project in Des Moines, Iowa, right, and we need, what do we need? We need construction workers. Now, were you going to take somebody who's a hardcore employee, say, hey, white male construction worker, I know you know how to build that bridge, but you're not getting this job. We're going to hire this drunk. You know, this guy hasn't worked in 20 years because he needs a job. I think there's something wrong with that. I mean, literally, he said that. He did. I swear to God, he said that. You can watch him on TV. Look on YouTube. I'm sure they have it on YouTube. He made a laughing stock of himself. Now, can you imagine now them divvying up this money, trying to get this stuff working? And then when you think about it, let's assume we say, well, we're going to build that road. Do you know how long it would take to build that road? Do you know the economic impact that will be required on the environmental? It has to go through the EPA, the OSHA, and all through all the government has to go through the government to get it done, and it's never going to get done. In fact, you know, Aaron, they project that even if the government is efficient, which it never has before been efficient, so it can never happen, it will never happen, right? They say that the best that can happen is that some of these construction projects will start employing people in the year 2010 to 2011.
So will this be helpful for our current recession?
Ah, good question. And I would say absolutely not. It's toast. We are finished, folks. Things are bad. They're going to get worse. Now, understand the lunacy of this whole thing. We got in this mess because we were heavily in debt. We were a nation in debt. We had a trade balances, which is a negative trade balance. We have people who have spent their way past the equity of their home, their
credit cards,
and their, what else they call that thing, the income, you know, when they say you can now borrow money on a life insurance policy, equity life insurance policy, what do they call that? Anyway, I'm lost the word, I'm sorry, I'm running out of time and I'm rushing. But we've taken all the money, any net worth that we've had, and we've spent it on junk that typically is made overseas. And now we have nothing to show for it. And the answer to that, folks, the answer to that from Obama, who has the audacity of hope, is to spend more money, is to put us further in debt. I've been reading the book, IOUSA. Excellent book, IOUSA. And in it, they were concerned. In fact, this is the Comptroller General of the United States is concerned that we could not sustain deficits of $200 to $300 billion a year. This book was written June. It was published in June, somewhere in June of 2008. So it's a new book. Could you imagine $200 to $300 billion? He's concerned about it. It's 10 times that amount in only 6 or 7 months. He would have a coronary. He couldn't write the book today because he'd have a coronary writing it. And the answer to our debt problem is more debt, more government regulation. Folks, we're in trouble. Aaron, do you have any closing remarks?
Only that debt begets debt.
Debt begets debt, yeah. Now, honey, do you promise you will not use your credit card anymore? No, she will not commit to that. She's just like the... Honey, you're just like the government. I didn't realize that.
I know.
Folks, we didn't have any call-ins this evening. I'm very disappointed in that. You know, but I think we're going to wrap things up. Let's see if there's any other words of wisdom that I have here. And it says, whatever... Here's another one. This is by Sheldon. Sheldon Richman. He's my favorite from the Future Freedom Foundation. Whatever the government does, it isn't a stimulus in the way that jump-starting a car is a stimulus. Government borrowing merely moves money around that is already inside the economy. Inflation injects demand into an economy, but increases demand without additional goods is just another way to move existing wealth around. Absolutely nothing will be done. It will not accomplish a thing. And with that, folks, we will bid you good evening. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is my wife,
Erin.
And this is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.